And the cantata for a couple of months, I believe, she stayed after church with a lot of the parents and the others that were working in it, and then she worked with them in the cantata, and then she would stay for choir practice, and so she didn't leave church till about 5 o'clock. She would get here, you know, in the mornings and not leave church till after 5. Then there was Bible study, ladies' Bible study. So she had a lot going on, and the choir and all the parents that worked with everything done just a tremendous job.
Let's give a hand to Miss Stephanie.
Yeah. Well, turn your Bibles with me today to Luke chapter 2. And some of this scripture was read or referred to as the cantata was narrated, and they did, as I said, a tremendous job with it. And today we're looking at the going through our Advent. We're looking today at this gift of hope, and it is a time of year that we talk about gifts. If you go to the malls, they're not as crowded as they used to be because a lot of people on Black Friday and Cyber Monday click several times on Amazon and have everything delivered to them, hopefully. It makes it a lot easier, but the malls are still crowded and they're still full, and I've been to one and not gotten anything, so I couldn't find anything that I was looking for. But as I thought about a gift that was given back when I was young. I was probably around 8 years old, which would have made my brother about 4. And my dad, we farmed growing up, and some years there was good years, and some years there were bad years. And I'm not sure what this was, but he had chosen, he had some money set aside for Christmas for my mom, and he got me and my brother, and we went to a jewelry store, and he talked with us on the way there, and told us that what he would like to do, if we were okay with it, was to buy one gift from all three of us. He wanted to get my mom a diamond necklace and get her something nice, and I hadn't been able to do that for her in years, so he wanted to do that this time, and I agreed to it without any problem. And we walked into this jewelry store, and a rack of earrings caught my brother's eye. And one pair of earrings, this four-year-old saw, was a pair of hummingbird earrings. And there was nothing that could be done, but he wanted to get my mom those earrings. He was not being stubborn or hard to get along with, but that four-year-old mind had seen those earrings, and that was the best gift that could be given for her, and he wanted to get her those earrings. He didn't like the necklace as much, and these were not costume jewelry, but they were not expensive either, but they were more than what we had and what my dad had. And so as they talked, and my dad knew there wasn't any talking them out of it, so he bought a less expensive necklace and those earrings. Well, Christmas morning, my mom opened them up, and she gave my dad a look like, what are these? not really what I was expecting. They were gold, and they had colored stone in them to make the hummingbird, to do the colors of the hummingbird, and they were pretty, and he explained to her what had happened. And that became one of her favorite gifts. And my brother, whenever my mom would sit down anywhere, especially Christmas morning and Christmas afternoon, he would come up and he would pull her hair back and look to see if she was wearing those earrings. For about 3 months, he did that every day to see if she was wearing those earrings. They were a great gift. What was sad is that when we were teenagers, somebody broke into our house and they stole TVs and they stole my mom's jewelry box. And she didn't really care about anything else that was in there. There was nothing that special in there except those earrings. And anything else could have been replaced, but she would never be able to replace those. Well, as I thought about that, I thought just about the joy of giving that we have, the love that we have for someone, and that was just my brother not trying to do his own thing. That was my brother seeing a gift that was he thought the best thing for my mom, and out of pure love, giving that to her. Well, Christ has given us gifts. We celebrate them as we celebrate the Advent, hope and peace and joy. And we'll talk next week about love. But look at this verse with me, this passage, and beginning there in verse 8. As we talk about the shepherds, I want you to see the joy that these men had. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord stood by them, or before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger, and after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring all these things up in her heart and meditating on them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, open our hearts to your word and speak to us today through your Spirit. Thank you for the worship that we've already had. And Father, I pray that you just let us hear from you today. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, as I talked about gifts, I thought about these gifts that God has given to us. And I thought about the question, why does joy matter? I titled the message, "Joy Matters," and it does matter to us in this world. And I think one of the reasons it matters so much is the first thing the angels said to the shepherds was, "Do not fear. Do not fear." When the angels said that a lot in those days, didn't they? When they appeared to Zacharias in the temple about the birth of John, they said, "Do not fear." When they appeared to Mary, they said, "Do not fear." When they appeared to Joseph, they said, "Don't fear." When they appeared to these shepherds, the same thing, "Do not fear." Well, I would be afraid if there was suddenly someone standing in front of me and this bright light was all around me. I believe if an angel appeared right here in church, we would have 30 or 40 new doors in this church. Very quickly, wouldn't we? There are a lot of folks that say, "Oh man, I'd love it. You know, I'd love to see an angel. That'd be a wonderful thing." No, you'd run. I don't care who you are. I don't care how brave you are. You would not be a match for that angel, and you would not know what to do. You would run away. But when I think about this fear, I think about the fact that really, if fear is not the opposite of hope, it is at least something that steals our hope and our joy and our peace. It steals these gifts. I like to see on every now and then, I think a lot of them are set up, they've got to be, but the videos of porch pirates coming up and stealing the box that's on the front of the porch. And this morning I saw one that had two Nutcracker soldiers standing there, I think it was, and they had a gun in their hands as they stood there, and as the woman grabbed the box, these guns started shooting out the green dye and just kept shooting like bang, bang, bang. And I think they're set up, staged, all that kind of stuff, but they're funny. Fear is a thief that comes in and steals these gifts that God has given to us. But God has given us something much greater. These angels, as I said, "Do not fear." If fear robs us of these gifts, joy is a sign that we're living in a right relationship with God. When people see joy in you, when you look at your life regardless of the circumstances and you see joy, not happiness in every circumstance, but a joy that is deeper than anything you've ever really understood, then you understand this gift. And like my brother, I believe God is looking to see if we're using the gifts that He's given us, because they mean a lot to Him. He loves the giving of them. And that joy and that peace and that hope are incredible gifts that God gives us. Well, where did the fear come from in this passage? Fear often comes from the presence of God, doesn't it? They weren't afraid. They were watching their sheep, minding their own business. And it says there in verse 9 that an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And then the choir began to sing, and it was not like the Vienna Boys Choir or the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, this high-pitched young boys' voices singing. These were soldiers, these angels. The host is an army. And maybe this army came with this angel to announce this birth, to make sure that nobody stopped him. But when they heard the announcement and they saw all that God had done, they began to sing. And they began to just praise God and to give glory to God. And that scared these shepherds to death. Seeing God is more than anyone can handle. Seeing His messenger come is more than most people can handle. And I think the reason for that is a lot of people say today, I don't know Him well enough to know God's intentions for me. If I don't know God that well and suddenly an angel stands before me and He's got an army of angels behind Him, what's God doing to me? What's God doing in my life? But here's the thing that I want you to see. This message of Christmas is wrapped up in the name given for Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. I saw, you've heard it said that thousands of babies have been born to be kings, but only one king became a baby. Christ came to be with us so that the fear that does just overwhelm our lives many times, we can overcome that fear. Now, if the fear came from not knowing. The fear came from not knowing what God wanted, what God needed for them, what God was doing there. Joy came from the message. Very briefly, look at that message with me again. It said, the angel said there in verse 10, "Do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I proclaim to you." The angels weren't looking up into the sky and saying, "I proclaim to you all, to everyone." They were standing before some shepherds and they said, "I'm proclaiming this to you." Now it's for all people. But God came to you. Christ came to you. This message there, today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You'll find that baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. Fear left because of the good news of great joy. It left because it was proclaimed to them. It was unto them a Savior, the Messiah, was born. And even these lowly shepherds, they were the lower class of the first century world. They were not that well educated. They were not considered all that smart, sophisticated. But even these shepherds knew about the Messiah. Even they knew the prophecies that were there, and they said, "Today this Savior, this Messiah is born for you in the city of David. And to answer your question before you ask it, here's a sign for you so that you'll know what you're seeing when you get there. You're going to find a baby laying in a manger wrapped tightly in cloth." And the mother and the father there. And it's an incredible thing that these angels did. And the joy came from that message. But we get the message of Christmas, don't we? We come to church every year at Christmas and we hear the same sermons, the same stories. I struggle because I preach the same sermon every year, but not the exact same, but it's the same message every year. How do I make it different? What do I do to make it unique? And I finally figured out, don't worry about that, because it's the message that's what's important. How do I get this message, though, from my head and from my ears to my heart? How do I get it into my life every day? This thing of joy that God gives. We have joy because we have peace, and we have peace because we have hope. Hope is a trust, not I hope something will happen. But I know who I have believed in, and I trust Him. My hope is in Jesus. Because of that, when things go haywire here, my hope is still in Jesus. Because I know how it ends. Look at these four things I want you to see. Hope is in the looking. We'll find it there in the looking. Again, don't be afraid, for look, behold. That means look right here. Pay attention. Look right here. I'm trying to give my dog a command to settle down, to pay attention when she gets excited and to look. And the other day in the parking lot there at Carmichael's, she got excited. She was jumping and bouncing around, and a car came by that was a truck that was kind of loud, and she kind of cowered down, and then she bounced again. And I said, Sophie, look, and sit. And she sat down, and she got herself down, and as soon as she did, it was like she sat on a spring, and she just bounced up to about right here. But when we get this idea of what these angels are saying, it's look right here. Focus. Pay attention. Stop worrying about these things that are out there. Focus on God. Focus on Jesus. He's the one that can help you. This week, maybe a little bit of last week, but this past week, I've heard we've had an accident and they're in the hospital. There's a bill I can't pay. I can't provide the Christmas for my children that I want to, that I need to. There's a prognosis that isn't good. And my parent has had a serious health issue. I've heard every one of those in the last 7 or 8 days. And the only thing I can say, I can't give hope that all these things are going to work out well. But I can say to everybody, look at Jesus. You're not going to forget about these things. I'm not saying forget about that and worship God and it's all going to be great. No, the only answer is going to come from Him. So, behold, forget about these other things. Get wrapped up in Christ that we're worshiping here today. But it's also in the going. The angel told him, go to Bethlehem. Now, if these shepherds had gone, they went to Bethlehem and they found exactly what the angels had told them they would find. But if they had just stayed there in the fields, what do you think would have happened? They would have been excited about what they heard for a little while. And then the conversation would probably turn around to, did we really see that? Did you put something in my coffee? Did you, I really don't want to tell anybody about this. I don't want everybody thinking I'm crazy. It would have turned into an alien abduction type of thing. I didn't really see that. I don't think, we're going to deny that. But they went, and they found exactly what God told them they would find. When you hear from God, when God's saying to you, look, and you get up and look, and God says, go, do this, and you do, you're going to see Him. Look at what else it says there about this going and seeing, and that in verse 15, when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what happened, which the Lord has made known to us. God makes himself known when you go. When you look and you go and you're obedient to him, in that going, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know exactly what we're going to find, but we're going to find God there because he's already been there. There's joy that comes from the finding that God is there. Now, the next thing in the telling, it tells us there in verse 16, they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You have good stories you like to tell people, experiences you've had. Tracy and I went off this past week up to Young Harris, Hiawassee area, and the cabin we rented to stay in had a trout stream behind it, and I fished every day we were there, and I almost stepped on a fish, but I didn't even catch a cold. Okay, nothing, they weren't biting, nothing was moving. But if I had caught about a 24-inch trout, you know, one that's about that big, do you think there'd be a picture of it up here right now for you to see? Sometime through the day, I would be telling that story, and there would be a picture of me holding that fish up on the screen because I would want to tell that story. I would want to tell about that fish that I caught. Well, we've got the greatest news in the world. And when you tell somebody about it, they have joy, and you get excited. And the more you tell it, the better it gets. Not like a fish story gets better every time you tell it, but the more you tell it, the better it gets. There's joy in that telling, and there's joy in the treasuring. It says here that in verse 19, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Mary was treasuring all these things up in her heart. It means that she was taking mental pictures of all of this so that she could go back and think about these things. And how many times do you think Mary told this story, especially after the death and resurrection of Jesus? I bet it got sweeter each time she told it. We treasure up what God has done for us so that we studied it this morning in Sunday school, that it's knowing what God has done in the past that tells me that I can trust Him now, that I can trust Him in the future. I don't have to worry about that. This treasuring up, she would remember these things and tell this story with joy the rest of her life. As I said a moment ago, all these things, hope and peace and joy and love, they're part of an everlasting way. I love Psalm 139, the last two verses, that says, search my heart and search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. Show me any unclean, unrighteous way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. We're asking God to lead us here in the way that we're going to live in heaven. The way that we're going to spend eternity with Him. And these things, hope and peace and joy, we're not going to have hope in eternity because we're not going to need it. Because Christ is going to be there in front of us. But we are going to have peace and joy and love, and we're going to have Christ. And we ask for these things oftentimes in the immediate moment, in the now. Lord, I'm scared. I want joy and peace right now, Lord. It doesn't always work that way. Lord, take this away from me so I can have that joy and peace. And that's not the prayers that we're to pray. Lord, I trust you regardless of what's going on. I have peace and joy because I've placed my hope in Jesus. It's not joy in the circumstances, but joy in spite of the circumstances. Hope is so critical to this. I thought about yesterday as I was finishing this up, the actor Bruce Dern. He played the bad guy in the movie, John Wayne movie, The Cowboys. And he became one of the most hated men in America after that movie because he shot John Wayne and killed him in the movie. John Wayne had told him, "You're going to be hated." And he got death threats because he played that character. But here's the reason for that, I think, is that when you see a John Wayne movie, you know that in the end, John Wayne is going to win this thing. No matter how bad it gets, he's going to whip everybody else and going to be the last one standing. You know that. He's the hero of the movie. But in this one, he didn't. Now, the good guys win in the end. It's a great movie. But Bruce Dern messed that whole thing up. And people lost their hope. When we lose hope, we don't have anything else. We know the way a movie is supposed to end. But here's the thing that we can have hope in. And it's not a movie. It is a book. And it's this one. And we have the last letter in this book, and it tells us how everything ends. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to be surprised, because it is absolute. It is God's word. He's given it to us. And I can place my hope in Him that regardless of how things are going right now, in the end, I'm with Him. Do you have that hope in Jesus? I pray that you do, but if you don't have that hope, you don't know how the story is going to end. And I can't imagine not knowing Jesus, not knowing how things are going to end up in the end. Where will I be? What will this be like? Christ came so that we could see Him living out this picture of who God is in front of us. And now, after His death that paid for our sins and resurrection that shows that He is the Son of God, the Holy Spirit is in us today. And He's teaching us the very same things, telling us who God is. If you don't know Him today, it's as simple as saying, "Lord, I need You. I want to know You. Forgive me of my sin. And Lord, from this point on, I don't know what it's going to be like, but I want to walk with You." You don't have to know all the answers. All you have to know is there's hope in Jesus, and I want that hope. And He'll give that to you. It's going to get hard when you do that. It's going to be great when you do that too. But you'll have hope in Him, and from that, you'll know a peace that is there in spite of the circumstances. A joy that is in you, not a happiness, not a circumstantial thing. Yay, the Bulldogs won the national championship this year. That's happy. That's going to go away. This joy doesn't. And a love we'll talk about next week that never dies. It never goes away. The Old Testament keeps calling it God's faithfulness, God's faithful love. It's an everlasting thing. If you don't know Him, you can know Him today. Ask Him, "Lord, save me. I want to turn from where I am and follow You." And He'll do that immediately. Let me know that today, please, if you do that. Let me know about it. Because I want to be able to pray with you. I want to be able to encourage you and help you. To learn to walk with Christ. It may be that you're here today and you know Christ, but that hope got dashed and the maybe fears kind of blinded you and you don't see these gifts of God anymore. You want to come and ask Him to renew that in you. Do that today at the altar. Whatever it is God's dealing with you about, you may need to come and join this church. We need you here. We want you here. And you need us and we need you. So come and do that today. Whatever it is God's laying on your heart, settle that with him now. As we're going to have prayer, and I'll ask you to stand and we'll sing a song. And as we're singing, come. Come talk with me or come pray at the altar. Do whatever you need to do. And if you're saying, I'm not walking down that aisle, catch me on the way out. Grab somebody sitting near you and say, I want to talk to you, or I want to talk to the preacher about whatever it is. Don't leave here today wishing or wondering what could happen. Trust him. Father, thank you for your word, your truth that's in it. Father, I pray that right now we'll be obedient to you in everything. Lord, thank you for being a God that loves us so much. In your name we pray. Amen. If y'all would stand with me and come as we sing this morning.